really excited to introduce you guys to this gorgeous lady in front of me, who is Dr. Sasha Hackman. I wanted to talk all about fertility, egg harvesting, yes, and all the things. And Dr. Hackman is a board-certified OB-GYN, reproductive endocrinology and fertility specialist in Detroit, Michigan. And I thought it'd be so awesome. My demographic is women who are in their 25 to 45s, 55s and beyond. But it's so important for women to know about their reproductive options. So I want to talk about egg harvesting and all the things. Like, what do women need to know? Everybody is doing it. I've heard of so many people harvesting their eggs because they're worried about not being able to meet the right person. Tell us a little bit about your background, and when did you get into fertility and egg harvesting and teaching women about their options?
Honestly, it was kind of almost coincidental in a way. Like, when I was an OBGYN resident, a lot of people said that I really had the personality and the knack for reproductive endocrinology. And so it wasn't really on my radar per se until, you know, a lot of people started planting the seed. And when I looked into it more, I just thought it was an incredible field, helping couples with infertility, you know, helping them reproduce. But then I was also a single female in my early 30s and was always super nervous about my reproductive future as well. And so as I started to get into the field, I actually took a dive into my own fertility preservation journey with my now husband, actually, when we were pretty early on in our relationship. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We treat a lot of women, lots of egg freezing, and of course, a lot of infertility as well.
Okay, so what's the right age to worry about? Like, I think women don't know that fertility goes down so quickly by the time you get into your mid-30s. Like, I had my fourth daughter at 37, and they told me I had advanced maternal age and high-risk pregnancy. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm 37. I'm so young and healthy. So what age is optimal fertility time for women?
I would say that it really depends on what your family building goals are. So if you're kind of in your early 30s, you want multiple children, and you still haven't met Mr. Right, or you are in a relationship, but you're just not ready for kids yet, then it's probably a really good time to start considering either freezing your eggs or freezing embryos if you do have a partner. But really, once you start to hit the mid-30s, it's really time to pull the trigger. At the end of the day, the earlier the better. The younger your eggs are, the more likely they are to essentially make an embryo and yield a baby.
Well, it's so important for people to feel like they have options. I mean, previous generations
totally
never have had this. But now, like, if you hit 30 and you realize that you don't like that time pressure of the clock ticking, of your fertility ticking, that you can just start the process. What is the process for harvesting your eggs and freezing them? So you might consider doing it at 30, 32, and definitely by the time you're 35. Are you saying, like, is there a cutoff where you can't do it after 38, 40?
I would say that you can still do it by the time you hit 40, but at that point you have to be a little bit more realistic that the large majority of your eggs have kind of become chromosomally abnormal. So you need a significant
40, your eggs are chromosomally abnormal, the majority of them.
So if you make embryos with 40-year-old eggs, most of them are aneuploid, which means chromosomally abnormal. And so you need a much higher number of eggs in order to get that perfect embryo that will make your baby. And so that's why I would say the younger the better, but there isn't a cutoff. We do have older women who look to freeze their eggs. They're more realistic, and so they do several cycles back to back, and they just try to batch their cycles to get as many eggs as possible.
Okay, so 28 to 30, I've been on Bumble, nothing's working. I hit 30, I'm like, it's time. I'm going to, in the next 3 to 5 years, harvest and freeze some eggs.
That's a good consideration.
What are the steps? So you get a full physical, I'm sure blood work, and then what?
Yeah, so once you get your initial evaluation, which the blood work will involve kind of assessing where your ovarian reserve is, so how many eggs you have to work with at this point, then your doctor will come up with a medication protocol. So women who have a much higher, it's called AMH, anti-mullerian hormone, this blood test helps us know whether you have a good amount of eggs, normal or average, or if you're below average. And then that kind of tells us how aggressive we have to be with the medication protocol. So at that point, once you have been scheduled for your cycle, at the start of your period, you're going to start these injectable medications and then go into the office every couple of days for ultrasound and blood work. And that's just to see how the follicles are responding to the medication. Once there's a significant amount of follicles that are, you know, at least 18 to 20 millimeters in size, that's when you actually undergo the procedure of retrieving or harvesting the eggs.
And is that super painful? Is that under sedation?
It's under anesthesia, yeah. So you get IV sedation for that.
Is it kind of like a really aggressive pap smear type situation?
A little more aggressive than that, I'd say. It's basically a vaginal probe with a needle attached to it, and then the needle goes through the vaginal tissue and into the ovary in each follicle, and it sucks out all of the fluid of each follicle, which contains the egg. And it's neat because the needle's actually connected to this tubing that has a tube at the end that gets handed to the embryologist, and they count the eggs out loud for us.
Oh, wow, that's so exciting. And then there's a whole special preservation freezing process. So the eggs get frozen, but yeah, they don't get like freezer burn and they still stay.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do kind of like flash freezing. And it's a rapid freeze in order to reduce the risk of any ice crystals from forming within the eggs.
Interesting. And how many eggs harvested is a good amount?
So I would say in general, you definitely want at least in the teens if you're younger. So on average, 10 eggs will give you about a 60% chance at a baby. And so the more eggs, the better, especially if you want multiple children. But that's just a general statistic. Of course, we do have some patients who will have fewer eggs and end up having more than one child out of that. But sometimes you will require significantly more eggs if there is an egg quality issue, because sometimes women will come to us for this reason and then find out that they actually had a fertility issue that was previously undiagnosed.
So we're talking about harvesting our eggs because I want to give all my girls out there some options, because Valentine's Day, everything puts on so much pressure on women, like you've got to get pregnant by a certain age. Like, no, you have options. But what are things that affect your fertility, like long-term? Are there things that we do as women, too much partying, too much like being loose, or, you know, too much of alcohol, anything that affects our fertility?
So unfortunately, yes. And unlike men, we are born with all of the eggs we're going to have for a lifetime. So what we do in our lifestyle can impact egg quality long-term, as opposed to guys who can do whatever they want. And then, you know, they just keep making new sperm. So 3 months later, you get a nice new batch. So for women, it's really smoking is a really big one. Smoking can have major detrimental effects on egg quality long-term.
That includes vaping, right? That includes vaping.
Yes.
All my girls out there that think it's so cool and it doesn't affect you. Sorry.
Unfortunately, it does. And actually, women who smoke tend to go into menopause at a younger age.
Yikes.
So, yeah, so we have a lot of data on that. Marijuana, also not great for egg quality. Alcohol, if it's, you know, not binge drinking, just social drinking is fine. But regular binge drinking can impact egg quality. And of course, diet and exercise. We know that if you generally live a healthier lifestyle, so you're not sedentary, you have moderate physical activity on a regular basis, and you're kind of having a well-balanced diet, then that's kind of the best way to look at your nutrition and exercise for egg quality as well.
And how long do frozen eggs stay good for? Like, what if it's going to take me
indefinitely?
Person of my dreams, so it can stay for years.
Yeah, there's usually like an age cutoff though for a lot of clinics. It does vary from clinic to clinic, but usually it's somewhere in the early 50s. So if you froze your eggs and you really wanted a child and you haven't met Mr. Right, then there's always donor sperm and being a single mom, and that's a great option for a lot of women.
Definitely. Or if you have a Mrs. Right, even like you
Or
can
Mrs. Right, exactly.
or Mrs. Right.
Exactly.
Tell us a little bit more about your story. Like at 32, you're a physician. So like a lot of women physicians and professional business people out there, like we work so hard to do graduate school, all this advanced training. There's no time to meet anybody. What made you think at age 32 that you really need to do this? And you had a baby.
Well,
That little frozen egg, he turned into a real live baby.
oh, not yet. Still
Not
waiting.
yet, but oh my goodness.
Hoping it takes. We just had the transfer, so it's too early to say. But at 32, I just felt like it was the right time. I knew that realistically, my husband and I, we wanted a couple kids. We were still doing long distance because of our training. He's in residency, I was in fellowship. And so we were kind of across country for 3 years, which was rough, but it's not unique to medicine, as you know. And so I knew that we wouldn't be trying until I was close to 35. We want multiple kids. I just didn't want to be in a situation where it became so difficult, egg quality went down, and we were in a situation where it just wasn't happening. And so I thought, let's just make some embryos from now. We freeze them. And I always recommend to my patients, if you're going to do that, keep some eggs on the side for the future, just in case things don't work out. But
When
in our
you say
case,
embryos, you mean that you used your husband's sperm, your egg, and then you have a little like frozen pre-baby as opposed to just the egg.
exactly. So at that point, you know the fate of those eggs because not all eggs are going to get fertilized, and not all fertilized eggs are going to be able to form an embryo. There is this natural attrition rate, it's just kind of natural selection. And so, I just felt like 32 was a good time. I was ready. I was still young, I was younger than 35, but I knew that I was getting older and we were nowhere near trying to have a child, so or trying to conceive. And so, yeah, we went ahead and did an IVF cycle and froze the embryos. And here we are after trying for several months. And I do have PCOS. And for those who don't know what that is, it's polycystic ovary syndrome. And it's kind of an endocrine metabolic disorder where you tend to have ovulatory dysfunction. And sometimes a lot of women will have high androgen levels with acne, unwanted hair growth on the face, chest, or back. And so, I already knew that I had this going on and I wasn't ovulating on my own. So, despite several months of ovulation induction and treatment that was kind of less invasive than IVF, when it wasn't successful, I was like, okay, well, I'm glad we did this thing. It worked out.
Yeah, I think PCOS is so underdiagnosed. I feel like many women have menstrual irregularities and breakouts, and
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are undertreating it. What are some of the best things to do for PCOS patients? I think spironolactone, everybody gets prescribed spironolactone tablets. Is there anything else
Yeah.
that's cutting edge or new for girls that have PCOS?
Nothing new for PCOS. Spironolactone is definitely a great medication for those who are trying to treat their hirsutism, which is the unwanted hair growth and the acne. Of course, they need to be on birth control when they take that, just in case they accidentally get pregnant. There may be risk to like the male fetus if they were to be pregnant with a boy. But aside from just the medical management of making sure that they're bleeding regularly or, basically to protect the uterine lining or fertility treatments, there isn't anything novel. There are some studies, some experimental things that aren't the standard of care yet, where in Europe, some places, they'll actually remove some of the ovarian tissue and freeze it. And so that way it reduces their symptoms because they have less ovarian tissue. And then whatever is frozen could potentially be used in the future for fertility preservation. And so it's like a double whammy. It's a really neat idea, but it's not anything that is routinely offered, at least in the United States or in most countries yet.
And is it really painful to have your eggs harvested? Because I imagine that, like, when you ovulate, it feels crampy and awful. So when they go in and stick a probe into your ovarian, into the little follicles developing, is it really painful for egg harvest?
I think it really depends per person. So if you have a lot of eggs and you have a ton of follicles from your stimulation, then those women tend to complain more of pain after the procedure. And that's just because the follicles are so vascular that when you puncture it to suck the egg out, it tends to bleed in itself and some of that blood spills into the abdomen. And so they all feel a lot of irritation from that. But those who have lower ovarian reserve tend to feel less abdominal bloating, distension, and then it's not quite as severe after the retrieval either.
And how much does it cost roughly to get this egg harvesting done? Like, you're in Michigan, I'm in LA, I don't know what the cost average is.
It varies per clinic and where you're located, but I would say that on average, it's anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 per cycle.
Wow, per cycle.
Per cycle.
How many cycles does a woman have to do to harvest a decent number of eggs to freeze up?
So that'll depend on her egg reserve. So women with a really high AMH usually will tend to only need to do it maybe once, maybe twice. But those who have a lower egg reserve often need to do sometimes even 5-6 cycles.
Wow.
So it can get, yeah, really pricey. The longer you wait, the older you are, the more expensive it's likely going to be, too.
Is there, like, a youngest age to doing egg harvesting? Like, should you harvest them at 25 and then you don't even have to think about it for a long, long time?
I mean, for those who have the means, why not?
Yeah.
I look at it as an insurance policy. You know, we get life insurance and disability insurance. It's insurance on your reproduction. And so if you have the means to do it and it's something you think about, then, you know, why not? I would never turn someone down at the age of 25. I'd say maybe early 20s is pretty young, probably unnecessary, unless there was, say, like a cancer diagnosis. Then that's a totally different situation and we would want to act on it right away.
Definitely. Wow. So 25 is not too early. So, and if you're someone who can't afford IVF or doing this, is there some advice for, like, keeping our eggs and follicles healthy or another route to take?
So, I mean, honestly, just trying to live your healthiest lifestyle, good sleep, stress management, a well-balanced diet, no extremes of exercise. So staying active without being too extreme about it and not being sedentary either. But, you know, for those who feel like, you know, the financial aspect seems daunting, there are a lot of companies that do offer very low interest loans to people who are looking to do this. And so I know that, like, Ally and Lending Club and Prosper, they all have specific loans for fertility treatments and egg freezing. And then there are some states, like in Illinois, where they're mandated to cover it. And a lot of people will actually have it covered by their insurance.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Really good. A lot of women were asking, is birth control, being on the pill for a long time, going to affect their fertility in the future?
No, it doesn't negatively or positively impact your fertility. So a lot of women think both things. Like, there, I always hear women say things like, oh my God, it'll make you infertile in the future, but it's not the case at all. All it does is sometimes mask a problem that may be there, but it wasn't.
If you're on the pill throughout your cycles, it masks sometimes.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you have, say, something called, like, ovarian failure, premature ovarian failure, it's like premature menopause, you don't know that you've run out of eggs because you've been on the pill. And so you don't have any symptoms. You didn't stop ovulating. But if you stop the pill and you never get a period again, that's usually when it's discovered. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it can mask things like that. But those things are typically rare. On the other hand, I always get the question, does being on birth control pills, since it prevents you from ovulating, does it preserve those eggs every month? But unfortunately, there's nothing we can do to prevent hundreds of our eggs from dying every month.
It's the sad story.
It is.
What other questions do you get asked a lot about harvesting your eggs? And like, I think it's such a good topic for women of all ages, especially in your 20s to 30s, to really understand your options. What other questions do you get?
I think usually the most common question is really what to expect in terms of egg number. And I always say, you know, we can't 100% predict it, but oftentimes when we do something called a baseline ultrasound right around the time of the menstrual cycle, you can count how many follicles are in the ovaries, and that can kind of help predict how many follicles you can try to stimulate grow and how many eggs you can retrieve from there. And then the other, I would say the number one most common question I get asked at the end of every consultation is, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah.
How much are the meds? So I know that unfortunately the cost is always the really big part of things, but
investment. Kids are expensive to get used to. It was like $1 million.
Yeah.
It's some crazy study. It costs you $1 million to have a kid over their life.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't think twice to get that designer handbag, but I think that, you know, this is, it is, you know, insurance on your fertility. And if you do it younger, I mean, I've never heard anyone regret doing it. So
I can imagine like so much peace and like a feeling of wellness that you don't have this ticking time bomb above your head of like, when's your fertility clock going to expire? I think that's a really nice option that, you know, people have never had.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm really excited for you. I hope that your implantation goes well. What are your
next steps? So next step is a pregnancy test. So we're in that 2-week wait. So,
advice for people like to avoid disappointment and to mentally put yourself in the right spot just in case you're going to end up doing another cycle?
I always like to manage expectations with patients. And so I always say, have an honest conversation with your reproductive endocrinologist and see what they're feeling about your cycle, how successful they think you're going to be, what your prognosis is, and then you can manage your expectations accordingly.
Yeah, that's great. Does stress impact our egg viability? Or like if you live a super crazy, stressful, like training as a surgeon life, are you going to have less eggs, or are those eggs going to be more, less viable in any way?
Well, that remains a very controversial topic. some studies showing absolutely yes, some studies showing not so much. But what we do know is that female physicians do have a much, much higher rate of infertility compared to the average population. So, the general population has an infertility rate of 10% versus us who are at about 25%. So yeah. It's a significant difference. Yeah.
Awful. That's awful.
So,
is there any counseling too, in terms of like being really careful with partners? I think women don't always realize that getting chlamydia or certain STDs is going to really screw up your fallopian tubes and your fertility health in the future. Do you see that a lot? Do you have any advice about that?
I mean, it's always tough because I feel like the education is somewhat better these days, but there's still definitely a lack of access to care. And so, people may not necessarily realize that when you do get an STD at a younger age, it does predispose you to infertility, and the kind of infertility is of your fallopian tubes. It can cause scarring. And so if that happened, you would have to do IVF to be able to get pregnant. And so we do see that it is common. Unfortunately, I don't think that we do a good enough job at educating the younger population at really just practicing safe sex.
Yeah, prevention. Prevention's better than the cure. Because I think those diseases, like sometimes, you know, if you get chlamydia or one of these things, you can treat it, but it's a long-term consequence that's really going to, like, you won't even know until later. So you got to be so careful at these early ages.
Totally.
What percentage of these eggs are gonna go towards becoming viable babies? Is there like a success rate with a frozen embryo?
It's based on age, but on average, overall, it's about a 6% chance per egg of
Wow.
making a baby. Yeah.
Interesting. And then getting twins and things depends on how many eggs implant, right?
Yeah. Well, now with assisted reproductive technologies, our twin and multiple gestation rate is a lot lower, and that's because we've gotten so good at the technology in the lab part of things that we're only transferring one embryo at a time. There's still slightly higher risk of twins because we are basically taking sperm and injecting it into the egg, and we're doing things like assisted hatching because the embryo has a shell, and that shell gets really hard after you freeze it and thaw it. So we do have to make a little laser injection of the shell so that the embryo can hatch out of it. So all those things increase the risk of that embryo splitting into two and creating twins. But that risk has come down to basically what the general population is, so spontaneous twins. So we've done a good job at bringing that back down.
That's so exciting. That sounds so high tech and cool. Are there other
Yeah.
innovations that you see coming in terms of like women fertility options coming up?
I mean, one of the newer things that I find really exciting is there's something called Violet, and so for women freezing their eggs, because they're not embryos, we have the ability to grade embryos on their quality. But with eggs, previously they were eggs and that was it, and they got frozen. But now there's a test called Violet, which is using AI to basically analyze the eggs, take a scan of it, and then they have a computer system that will analyze it and predict the likelihood of that egg becoming an embryo.
Wow, that is very
Yeah.
cool. Very cool.
So, yeah, AI is kind of the future of our field, with a lot of the machinery being able to do a lot of the work kind of better than humans, in some cases.
That's amazing. Well, this has been so educational. And although I'm a facial plastic surgeon, I do lots of beauty injectables, but the wonderful women who sit in my chair and a lot of the ladies who follow my Instagram account are in this age group where there's so much time pressure and they feel, they may be losing their fertility options. And this is such a great way to take the pressure off. So
Totally.
everyone out there should look at their options for harvesting their eggs. And who knew you
100%.
could any parting advice? Any other things you want to tell this group of demographic?
I would say that if you've been thinking about it and it's on your mind, just take the plunge, talk to a doctor. You won't regret it. You don't have to commit to anything, but it's better to know. And if you even just want to know where your fertility is at, you don't have to be actively trying to have a baby to check your hormone levels. And so even just getting that evaluated is sometimes a really good start.
That's so true. And are there credentials they should look for to find a reputable person if they decide to do the egg harvest?
Yes. So you want to look for a double board certified OBGYN and reproductive endocrinology and infertility specialist, or at least board certifiable. And so that's someone who's done their fellowship training in order to be able to do retrievals and eventually when you come time for an embryo transfer.
Amazing. Well, we wish you so much good health and good luck with the
Thank you.
future ahead. And those of you that are interested to learn more, where can they find you on your various handles?
So you can find me on Instagram at Sasha Hackman MD. And I also have a website with a blog on it, so you can check out more information at sashahackman.com.
Amazing. And those of you who are listening, it's not our usual topic of injectables and surgery, but I do want you to think of the bigger picture. Women make up 90% of the clients in aesthetics. So I'm just talking to those of you who sit in my chair. Hope you're finding this so educational. You can find me on my Instagram. It's Beauty by Dr. K, doing amazing things with people's faces. And don't forget, if you're an injector, learn with me at Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry, all about these techniques to do amazing things with faces. Sasha, thank you so much for all that great knowledge. And
thank you.
People will reach out with questions. We're going to save this Absolutely. For your podcast. And come visit me if you're ever in LA.
Yes, I come often, so I will definitely hit you up.
Yes, definitely. Once you need anything, you're so beautiful, you don't need a thing. But you should definitely, we'll send you some of our skincare. You'd love it.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, I will definitely hit you up.
Safe to use in pregnancy. Some really great ingredients like vitamin C, which will be wonderful, prevents melasma. The vitamin C serum is the best. Well, that's it for now, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in, everybody. We love you and stay beautiful.